The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Just before the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in the temple he found people selling cattle and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting at their counters there. Making a whip out of some cord, he drove them all out of the temple, cattle and sheep as well, scattered the money changers' coins, knocked their tables over, and said to the pigeon sellers, "Take all this out of here, and stop turning my father's house into a market." Then his disciples remembered the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will devour me." The Jews intervened and said, "What sign can you show us to justify what you have done?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this sanctuary, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this sanctuary. Are you going to raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the sanctuary that was his body. And when Jesus rose from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the words he had said. During his stay in Jerusalem for the Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he gave. But Jesus knew them all and did not trust himself to them. He never needed evidence about any man. He could tell what a man had in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Maybe to send a shiver down your spine or perhaps chill you to the marrow, that recent picture of St. Peter's in Rome superimposed with the black flag of ISIS flying from the roof and the wording, "We'll conquer Rome." Intercepted communications reveal that Islamist radicals are planning to strike at the very heart of the church. And you probably saw on Friday night or yesterday, smashing 3,000 years of cultural history in a place we partly knew as Nineveh, where Jonah went to preach, and as I say, it goes back for over 3,000 years, just smashed. We can imagine, or maybe just begin to capture a bit of what it feels like, just as it did for those countries, maybe the Channel Islands, during the war years when the Nazi flag flew from their public buildings in occupied territory. Well, a little of all that was going through the people listening to Jesus as he clears the temple, speaking of its destruction, which he would then, it says, rebuild in 3 days. And it's a grand gesture, in a way, to express the end of religion which emphasized the worship of God by sacrifices in the temple. All the four gospel writers include this incident of Jesus sort of clearing the temple in their gospels. So it's obviously very important, because there are not many things that are common to all four, but this is one of them, as indeed is the feeding of the 5,000 as well. There were obviously very important messages that were getting across. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only give this happening in the last week of Jesus' life, but we're leading up to the week we call Holy Week. But St. John, the one we've just read it from, puts it at the beginning of his ministry. St. John is different to the other gospel writers, because they only mention the Passover once, and that's when Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and it's the once for towards Holy Week. But John has Jesus coming up and down. He mentions at least three different Passovers Jesus is in Jerusalem. But John puts it after Cana of Galilee, where, as you know, he changed water into gallons of wine. And that symbolism was the Messianic age. This is the Messiah coming. And the symbol of that would be rich and plentiful wines. And Jesus, what St. John is getting us to see is this is a symbol of who this person is. He is the Messiah. If you think back, I always say to you that in green time, we're growing in the mystery, we celebrated. Well, the last big celebration was Christmas. We thought, who is this babe in the manger? This is none other, he's saying, than the Messiah. This is the Jesus who goes to the temple. And his action there presents a threat to the religious order that exists because it's about to be overthrown. Because the Messiah is bringing a new life. So that's why John sets it at the Passover, sees it as the Passover. They all do, but it's a different Passover for John. Because the other time that John uses the Passover, apart from this one, is when Jesus has fed the 5,000 and spoken to them about being the bread of life. So there's bread, which he has in abundance. In Cana, there was wine in abundance. And the next time, the last time, is Holy Week, when what John the Baptist has said, there is the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God is on the altar of the cross at the time that the lambs were sacrificed. But the bread and the wine, the lamb, come together. Now, Passover celebrated the great commemoration of freedom of God, that momentous occasion when God had brought the people of Israel out of Egypt and given them freedom and given them a guide to help them remain free, the Ten Commandments. That's why we got that reading of the Ten Commandments this morning. Because that's, as it were, the freedom, and they actually do give you a freedom. You might not think they do sometimes, because some of the things, when you want to break the commandments, you think you're doing the right thing, but we don't. If you look at society, if you look at life, and you think, we need these to keep us, as it were, free. So he does call that. But at the Passover time, it was also the time when all the animals and the cattle and the sheep and the birds and all there, all in the temple, plus all the handlers of all that sort of thing, plus all the money changers. Money changers because they were an occupied country. And the money had the head of the emperor on, and they didn't want the temple defiled by the head of the emperor, so they had their own money, and that's why you had the money changers. So all that is there in the temple. And of course, at Passover time, it's full of pilgrims all there, buying and selling and all that. Now, the temple was the heart of the nation. That's why they all went on pilgrimage at Passover time. And you went for worship, you went for instruction, which is why you had the scribes and the religious teachers. You went for forgiveness. Have your sins forgiven. You went for healing. And you went for sacrifice. Because the temple brought the human and the divine together. So we look at the life of this Messiah, that babe in the manger that's grown up now. And what do we find? First thing is, he taught. And when they say he taught with authority. Not like the scribes, they said. No, this man teaches with authority. Right teaching. He forgave sins. And they all said, only God can forgive sins. But he forgives sins. He healed. People came from miles around. They heard there was this healer, and so they came from far and wide. So by all those acts, he's actually saying, you've got a greater than the temple here. Now, if the temple was the place for the nation, Jesus is now saying he is the lamb and the temple and the sacrifice and the priest. He loved the temple. It was his father's house, but he knew the corruption, all that went in it, and all that there was there. It's going to be destroyed. And of course, 40 years after the death of Jesus, the temple was smashed, and the only bit left of it is what we call the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall, where you still see the Jews there sort of praying at that wall. That's the only bit of the wall left of the Temple Mount. And he says, destroy this. In 3 days, I'll rebuild it. St. John adds, he was speaking of his body. And so at his death, as we hear on Good Friday, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And I've said to you before, last night in Cornden Hale, we've got a big cloth, as it were, a veil behind the altar. Here we've only got the window. But you couldn't tear it from top to bottom. You'd have to start at the bottom and work up. Unless you got scaffolding up, but that's not what it said. God tore it from the top. And it's God saying that this is now the new temple. Jesus is that. So you can see why the religious authorities were upset by Jesus. And of course they used that he said he was going to destroy this temple and build it in 3 days. And as they taunt him on the cross. But St. John wants you to try and understand it from the point of the resurrection, in the light of the resurrection. Because in the new age, after the resurrection, the life of Jesus brings all the Old Testament, everything of the old tradition, to fulfillment. If you remember, he says, when he's speaking about the law and the prophets, I haven't come to destroy them, I've come to fulfill them. And he fulfills them all in his own life. And he's saying, all the old institutions go because you won't need to come here for your multiple sacrifices because my one sacrifice is enough. And that's why we pray that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Because Jesus is that Lamb of God whose sacrifice is the perfect sacrifice for all time. And he's saying the meeting place now with the people of God is not any longer in the temple in Jerusalem, but in and through the risen Lord Jesus, feeding and nourishing his people with his own body and blood and his holy word. You hear, we sang, you hear how kindly he invites. You hear his words so blessed. Come to me. And that's why we come and do what we do week by week, because the risen Lord is now our temple. Can you see how, you see, celebrating that infant, the child in the manger, but seeing him grow up, he is the one that brings the divine life and the human life together. But St. Paul extends it and says that those of us that are baptized, members of his body, are temples too of the Holy Spirit. That's why when we come in, there's always water there to refresh ourselves and remind ourselves that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And that's why in our last journey, when we come through, as Bridie Langston will later in the week, blessed with the waters we come through the door. Before we go out on that very last journey, blessed with the water again. And incense, which is a sign of honor. Honor the body that we've had here, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if that's so, what this gospel centers also today is, what do we need to clear out of this temple of the Holy Spirit so that it's become... That's why at Pentecost we sing that, "Oh, let it freely burn till earthly passions turn to dust and ashes in its heat consuming." The Holy Spirit comes in to clear us. So we need to look in our lives, what our personal lives or our parish life or Penzance community life or national life, what is it that needs clearing out and changing so that what is God setting us free once again from? All that can seem a painful time, as it did to the people listening to Jesus. But we are members of his body, fed and nourished by him. And we're meant to be changed from glory into glory. That's again, all the hymns come together. Changed from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place, because that's our goal. Fed and nourished on the journey here, till in heaven we're with him.